Good morning. Good morning. I can see you better now. When I was up here earlier, the house lights were off, and so you look much, much better now that I can see you. Well, as Emily's already mentioned, I'd like to say happy Father's Day to all of you who are dads, and even to you guys who have loved children that may not be yours, even as you serve and volunteer in different areas of ministry, even as you influence children along the way, in any way that you have reflected and mirrored the image of Christ who loves us as a father. I thank you for being that. And one of the greatest and highest honors of my life is to be a dad. And I love getting to be a dad. And I love my dad, and I got to spend some time with him this weekend, and it was a lot of fun. But I also recognize that Father's Day is not always great for everyone. Sometimes it brings up hard memories. If your father's no longer with you, it's tough. Maybe you didn't have the best father, and so sometimes it's kind of a difficult thing. In fact, you've wrestled with seeing God as a loving father because of what you've experienced here on earth. And what I would say to you first and foremost is you have a heavenly father that loves you beyond your faults, failures, warts and all. God loves you as your heavenly father and wants to call you his child. One of the things as a dad myself, I've tried to become better because I realize the more that I'm a dad, the less good I'm at it. Does that make any sense? So I'm always looking for advice or tips, and I actually found, and I've tried to mirror my own father, but I actually found the perfect dad the other day. We were headed on vacation. We were taking a day trip to the beach, and you can't really go to the beach without stopping off at Bucky's. We have some fans. Now that we're distracted, Dabs, can you like put a low cut on this or something? I'm hearing myself right down here, and maybe I'll just turn it off. How about that? I feel like I'm booming, and that would feel better. Oh, that sounds that. I feel like it's about to explode at some point. That's much better. So we stopped at Bucky's, right? And I mean, that's an experience. If you've never been there, like you should go. Like it's impressive. But as we stopped at Bucky's, we pulled in. We had to get gas, actually, believe it or not. And when you go to Bucky's, you can choose any spot. You know, there's like 150,000, I think, places to get gas. It's amazing. But we pulled in, and I saw this guy coming by in a car. And so, like any gentleman, I get out and pump my wife's gas. Not really. I saw this dude come by in a car. And I just abandoned her completely and was like, hey, you're going to have to pump the gas. I got to go meet this guy. As he comes rolling up in a probably, I don't know, late 70s, early 80s wagon. In fact, I introduced myself to him and took a couple pictures of his car. And that's it. And I don't know how well you can see it, but it has wood grain. Not so fast, young man. Back up. We've got to get this full. By the way, my son Joe on Father's Day is taking his first solo venture on the computer. So what you can't see, I'm afraid, is there is luggage on top for a week, at least a week at the beach. There is a pallet. You know what a pallet is, right? Where the kids sleep in the back. There's a pallet in the back of the car with no seatbelts, okay? There's a dancing hula girl on the dash. Can we get the one where he's pumping gas, Joe? Can we get that one? There we go, right there. Now he has on a Hawaiian shirt that has these beautiful, I don't know if they're hibiscus flowers, but also an assault rifle next to it. If you can't see that, that really is true. He's got his Trump sticker on the top left-hand corner and a tag that says Daddy, okay? And there happens to be a 12-pack of Bud Light that's about to fall out of the luggage rack. At any rate, I had to meet this guy. And I was like, hey, man, like, this is the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life, and I want to be you when I grow up. And he said, He said he bought this on eBay. This is a true story, like literally a few weeks ago. He said he bought the car on eBay, okay, and he left a 2019 Ford Expedition at home in the driveway. His kids started loading into that to go to the beach, and he said, no way, you're getting in the wagon. And they rode the wagon all the way to the beach. So if you're struggling, dads, to know what to be and what to become, I present to you this guy who remains nameless. All I know is he's from Brandon. And so just when you think you've got it figured out, you can always do better. So step up your game. You can take that off now because we need to talk about Jesus at some point. We're grateful that you chose to spend your Father's Day with us. And I've got one simple message for you today. And it goes something like this. And I hope you've heard it already in the music that we sang, that God is with you. God is with you. And if you've seen the title in the bulletin, it's God is with you even in prison. I hope you do not have to find that out for yourself. But I want you to know, and I know this seems so simple, but that God is with you. Last week, if you were with us, we had an awesome conversation about Joseph, who's been the topic of our conversation for a few weeks now. But Joseph was working very faithfully in the home of Potiphar, who was pretty much second in command of all of Egypt, and he was a very powerful dude. And we read, you know, Joseph was serving as a slave to Potiphar. In fact, Joseph was wrongfully sold into slavery by his brothers, who rejected him and got rid of him. And one of the things we read in the story of Joseph, in fact, can we get Genesis 39, 1 through 4 on the screen, Joe? We read here that when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And next, the Lord was with Joseph. And we just kind of slide by that and we say, oh, and he was successful. Yes, that's true. But the Lord was with Joseph. He was successful in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Next. Potiphar noticed this and he realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. He noticed there was this correlation. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. In other words, he bumped him straight up the ladder and he put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. So you've got Joseph serving in this high-ranking position. He started out as a slave, serving time, you know, sold off for reasons that were not his fault, and yet God was with him even when he was sold into slavery. And not only was God with him, but God's presence with him and his faithfulness and obedience to God brought about this success. And so God is with Joseph. And then this instance happens with Potiphar's wife that we talked about last week. She came along and decided that Joseph was way too cute to be left alone. And so she invited Joseph to spend some time with her. And we'll just kind of leave it at that. You could tune back in online to hear last week's sermon. But when he said no to her, he kept his integrity. That was the whole idea of last week, was that integrity matters. Even when you think nobody else will know, doing what is right really does matter. And so we see this situation where Joseph rejects her invitation to unfaithfulness, and out of that, she then turns on him and steals his cloak, grabs it as he's running away and fleeing from the temptation, and she then takes that to her husband and says, look what this boy you brought into the house has done. He left this in my room after he came in here and tried to take advantage of me. Wow. And so we pick up in Genesis chapter 39, I should get my notes out at some point. What's the next one? Yeah, just put it on the screen for me if you don't mind. Thank you, bud. So Potiphar, who now is hearing his wife say, this young boy who you've put in charge of everything and you trust so much, look what he's done. So Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph, threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph even in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. It sounds vaguely familiar to when he found himself being sold into slavery. But the Lord was with Joseph when he in the prison, and God showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden, which I just find this to be fascinating, that even in the worst of situations, God is always with Joseph. And not only is God with Joseph, but he grants Joseph favor. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Now, this seems so elementary, but what I believe, like, Joseph acknowledges this presence of God, and no matter where Joseph found himself, the scripture tells us very clear that God was with him. And it changed everything. The very presence of God changed the reality for Joseph in this situation. And so what I want us to look at is when is God present with us, and how can that change our situation? I'm going to jump way ahead, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about this. But if you jump way ahead, you know, Joseph is Old Testament. This is long before Jesus shows up. But there were common threads when you look at Gideon and you look at other characters of the Old Testament, that God was with them. And when God was with them, things were not normal. I mean, when you and I, if you and I find ourselves in situations of prison or of being thrown into slavery, or you fill in the blank of something a little more modern, hopefully a little less, destitute, but you found yourself in difficult spots. You and I have found ourselves in difficult spots. And sometimes we've asked the question, if we're really honest, to say, God, where are you in this? And we know that when we sense that God is not present, things get difficult. So oftentimes we feel that God has escaped or left us alone, or that he has forgotten about us. And I don't know about you, but in seasons like that, that's when I don't always make the best decisions about life and future and other things and how I treat people and how I consider and how I look at other people. And so when we sense that God is not present, oftentimes we find ourselves in big trouble. Joseph knew the Lord was with him, and the scripture reminds us that the Lord was with him even in prison, even when he was sold into slavery. One of the things we know is that as you move on out of the Old Testament, and we find the advent of Christ, the coming of Jesus, when God enters into humanity, we have Emmanuel. In fact, we sing about this around Christmas time, because when Jesus shows up, it's not just another prophet. He's not just another messenger from God. He is God himself in the flesh, with skin on, moving into the neighborhood to make his presence known to humanity. And we call him Emmanuel, which simply is translated God with us. And it made the difference for everything. God with us changes everything. In fact, it's John who says, you know, the Word, God, became flesh and dwelled among us. Everything changes when God is present with us. And we see through the life of Christ that as he moves and interacts and teaches, as he heals, as he forgives, as he calls out, as he challenges, all throughout Jesus' life, he is present among the people. And one of the things I love is just to see how Jesus actually is present with people through the breaking of bread, through the proclamation of his truth. There are these incredible moments where his presence changes everything. But what I think is the greatest part and piece about the presence of Christ and the fact that God put flesh on and moved into the neighborhood and became one of us is that Jesus, who not only made God present with us, but then took on our brokenness and our shame and our sin and our guilt and all of the things that keep us from living in perfect relationship with God. Not only did he take that away, but he buried it when he was crucified. And then when he rose from the dead, he gives us the power to overcome that. But then Jesus ascends and goes back to heaven. And I have to imagine that as the disciples stood around, they asked the question, what are we going to do when you're not here with us? Because God, when you're with us, it's better. Jesus, when you are present among us, we like that. We don't like when you tell us you're leaving, right? Because when God is present with us, things change. It's different. What they didn't hear was all along, and you can go read this through especially John's gospel, the gospel according to John, when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, and he says, I'm going to leave my spirit actually inside of you. So with you I will be. I will be in you. And I mean, that's as close as you can get to being with Jesus. I mean, you can walk hand in hand, but when he says, I'm going to put my spirit in you, he's present. And one of the things I think is so incredible about this is as Jesus comes back and he's getting ready to leave, like finally leave, like he's been crucified, he's been raised to life, and now he's showing himself once again just as a further affirmation that I really did pull this off and I really did make a way for you to put your faith in me and find eternal reconnection with the God of the universe that sin so damaged and messed up. We can fix this. Jesus says. He gathers them together and he sort of gives them parting words. And you're familiar with this, I hope, as the Great Commission. Go you therefore into all the world. But, you know, you've heard this, right? Let me read to you as Matthew says it. He says, then 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain. This is Matthew. You are, look at this. You're the man. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. In other words, continue the movement forward. You have sat under my teaching. You've seen what I've done. I'm calling you to do even greater things, and I'm calling you to press this down the line. Go and make disciples in the name, or baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands that I have given you. And then this is the best part. And be sure of this. Be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Be sure of this. I am with you, even to the end of the age. When Jesus came and dwelt among us and then gives us his Holy Spirit, you and I have an opportunity to sense the same presence that was with Joseph when he was in prison. The same presence that was with Joseph when he was sold into slavery. And I believe that when we acknowledge his presence in a way that Joseph did, and we don't get a lot through the scripture about what, you know, what Joseph's faithfulness was like, but I have to imagine that through the success that he experienced wasn't because he was making poor decisions and it just happened that way. I have to imagine that Joseph acknowledged and sensed the presence of God with him, and he, as we saw in his interaction at least with Potiphar's wife, that he was bound to obedience and faithfulness just as God was obedient and faithful to Joseph. So what does this mean for us that God is with us? Well, the first thing and the main thing is simply this, that God is with you even when you're in prison. Now, again, I hope that you never have to experience that and test that all on your own, but God is with you no matter where you are and no matter where you might find yourself. Some of you have been through, literally have been through hell. You've experienced a situation, you've experienced a circumstance in your life, and you would say, I don't ever want to go back there. You might be in that spot now, and you're like, I don't know where God is. I can't sense him. I feel like he has left me all alone. Here's what I would say. God is present with you. Sometimes he's hard to sense. Sometimes it's difficult for us to look beyond our circumstance and look beyond our situation to recognize that God might actually be in the middle of this. But here's what I know. Because of the story I read of Joseph, because of what I understand about his life, is that no matter where you find yourself, God is always with you. From the promise of Jesus that I will be with you even to the end of the age, there's no place that you and I can find ourselves where God is not present. And so I would be so bold as your pastor to say this, that no matter your circumstance, no matter your situation, there's nothing that you can experience that alters or changes the character of God. There's nothing, there's not a spot that you're in, there's not a season that you'll walk through that somehow means that God is any less God than he is when things are good. I love to go to the beach and meet fun people at the gas station on the way. But there's something for me about sitting in a chair near the water and I feel the wind, even when it's like 150 degrees outside, which most of the time I swear it is. The breeze is blowing, the waves are crashing, I see my kids playing, I see water and I think baptism, I see sand on the beach and I think Abraham and it's just, there's so much. I can meet Jesus at the beach, okay? And many of you would say, well, when I go to the mountains, that's God's country, like I can see, you know. But here's the question to ask, though, does that mean when I leave the beach that somehow I leave God sitting down there and I've got to go back to reconnect? I don't think so. I think the God who is present with me and I see in the waves and the sun and the sand on the, like, I believe that same God is present with me when I'm going through a difficult time. When I'm standing on those same sandy beaches in the wake of a massive destructive hurricane, the same God that was present when things were beautiful is the same God who's present when things aren't. I've been in the delivery room at least four times for my own sake. Well, I mean, I wasn't necessarily doing the work, but I was there. It's Father's Day. I didn't get this just by somebody, you know. Anyways, there is something that I cannot explain to you about holding a child that's been born. But I also got a call this week from the Reeman's funeral home. Invited me to do the service for a person who's not connected with the church, a young couple who just lost a child. Here's what I'd say. That the same God who is present in the delivery room is just as present in the funeral home, at the cemetery. And I hope you know this. And I know it sometimes it's hard to see, but I hope when you hear the story of Joseph, and I hope when you see Jesus sweating blood drops in a garden, speaking to his father, he never once, until he was on the cross, he always called out because he knew God was with him. And in fact, it was in his last words, he says, "Why did you forsake me?" He knows better than that. Here's the deal. No matter where you find yourself, whether you're on top of the mountain, whether you are walking in the valley of the shadow of death, you never walk alone. You will never be alone. And I hope that somehow as you travel, because here's the deal, it's not a matter of if you will walk through a difficult season. It's not a matter of if you're going to find yourself in a difficult time. It's really just a matter of when. And that's not really exciting to talk about, because then we're just kind of looking, waiting on it, right? Now, here's what I know. I pray that when you find yourself in that deep and dark valley, that somehow, in some way, you will experience the presence of God. And you will know that the Lord is with you and that he will walk you in through success. John, our senior pastor, will be with you next week to talk about how Joseph's obedience led to his success and talk about what that actually looks like. But what we know is that when God is with us, things happen. We find deliverance. We find hope. We find peace, even in the midst of difficult and dark and seemingly hopeless situations. Even in prison, even in slavery, even at death's door, God is with us. Even to the end of the age, God is with us. God is with us. One final thought, and then we're going to move to what I believe to be one of the greatest gifts to the church that stands as a reminder of God's presence with us, this communion table. One of the things I would say is this. I pray you would experience, and I don't know that it's necessarily an understanding thing. Sometimes it's an experience and a heart thing to sense and know that God is present with you. And so here's what I would offer to each one of you. Never underestimate the power that you have to remind someone that God is with them. And it really is that simple. Never underestimate the power that you have to remind someone that God is with them. I've had people ask me, I got such and such happened. I'm going to the funeral home. I don't even know what to say. You don't always have to say something. Your presence oftentimes is simply a channel and an avenue for God's presence to be made known. Never underestimate the power that you hold to remind someone else, someone that God is with them. Never underestimate the power that you have to simply put an arm around someone and say, I don't know what to say, but I pray that you know that God is with you. I pray that you sense God's presence. I pray that God would walk with you. And I pray that you would know it. Sometimes simply showing up is the greatest gift that you have to offer. I've walked through many situations with many different people. And I heard one guy tell me, he said it the best. He said, I just keep showing up. It's all I know to do. Never underestimate the power of your presence, of just being there. And what God will do through that and in that. And it may simply serve as a reminder to someone that God has not, my friend has not abandoned me. Maybe God hasn't given up on me either. Let's pray. God, as we prepare to transition to this table, would you pour out your Spirit on us afresh and anew, that we might know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are with us, not just in moments like this when the music's good and we're with one another, but when we leave here and we find ourselves in dark and difficult situations. Remind us that you're with us when things just don't look like they're going to work out quite like we had planned. Remind us that you are with us when it seems that we can't go on. Remind us that you're with us when it seems like there really is no reason to go on. Remind us that you are with us when it seems like all hope is lost. God, we thank you that you know that's something we need. And so not only did you come and make your home among us, but you gave us your Spirit to dwell within us. And so come, Holy Spirit, visit us at this table. Visit us in this moment. Be present in this bread and in this cup, that we might actually know that you are with us. And may our lives never be the same, and may we give all that we have to help someone else know that you are not far away, but that you are present. We thank you for the way that you love us, and we pray that you would help us to love other people in the same way. It's in your name we pray. Amen. It was on the final night that Jesus was with us that he gathered with his closest disciples. And they shared the Passover meal. And he took the bread that they shared and he broke it after giving thanks to the Father. And he shared it with his disciples. He said, I want you to take and eat this, all of you, for this is my body that is broken for you. Do this to remember me. And likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup and he shared it with his disciples after giving thanks to the Father. And he said, I want you to take and drink of this, all of you, for this is the blood of my new covenant. Everything changes tonight. This is the blood of my new covenant, poured out for you and for so many more, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you gather to remember me. And so we do gather to take this bread and this cup, that we might remember, that we might never forget that God came near, that God gave himself in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And he continues to give himself to us through the power and the work of his Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we do pray that you would come and make your presence known. Invade our hearts and our lives. Be present in this cup and in this bread, that we may sense you and know that you are with us. Empower us, use us. We pray in your name, Jesus.